Okay, everyone, welcome to another exhilarating episode of Not So Common Sense. So, yes, I know on the previous podcast, I said I'm going to try to talk about, you know, some more wrestling-based, you know, podcasts, whatnot, right? Right now, my wife is at work, so I'm still trying to get her to do that. Yes, I'm going to talk about, of course, burnout leave, of course, as well. So please keep a lookout for that. I got a video talking about it, and basically, I'm going to try to see if I can get her to use her phone to play it. If not, I'll just say fuck it and just, you know, look it up online, information about it, and give it to you. I know, what is burnout leave? You had to wait until the podcast to hear it, right? But anyway, I wanted to talk about Charlie Kirk. Yes, the founder of TPUSA, right? Turning Point USA, a white supremacist group. White supremacist? Oh yes, he is. Proudly so. So, when I say that the right wing, for people out there who try to say, well, you know, the Democrats were the original founders of the KKK, and I will say always, and who do they vote for? Yes, Republicans. Kind of funny how something that was created by the Democrats somehow seemed to unanimously vote for Republicans. Yeah. So which one matters? The fact that they vote for Republicans. Because they vote for Republicans, and you have people like Charlie Kirk, a conservative Republican, saying what he said, and trust me, you're going to hear it, because I got a video, of course, dealing with it. You're going to hear it, and again, the Uncle Ruckus, Candace Owens, is involved in this as well. Again, I'm trying to see how, if I'm black, I fit in with this group, fit in with this party. I have to pretty much denounce everything about myself and allow for them to spew hatred in my face. Nah, that ain't how I roll. Shit, if you want to try to do some crooked shit, at least try to do it behind my fucking back. And be smooth with it. Democrats. Right? Because hell damn, at least you get something in the end out of it anyway. It may not be exactly 100% what you want. You're never going to get that from a Democrat. You know that full goddamn well. At least you may get a small amount. A little teaspoon. Hell, at least they're the one that actually gave us a black president. I mean, really, you didn't have no shot of getting that from the Republicans. Tim Scott could barely break 2%. And he's the only one they have. But anyway, like I said, this video that I'm dealing with is going to be dealing with Charlie Kirk and his statements dealing with black aviators, black pilots, if you will. So he made a statement, an idiotic, racist, bigoted statement, talking about how, you know, black people, if you see a black person that's a pilot, he's going to say, well, obviously they didn't earn that position. Not knowing how companies work, right? Not knowing how companies work, again, he owns one, but hey, that shows that you don't have to know how it worked to own something. Definitely being the owner of a company or some shit, you just let shit roll. Definitely when you're already getting bankrolled by a secret government. A secret organization. Because a lot of them get dark money. Conservative dark money. Oil companies and managers and owners of oil companies give them millions of dollars, right? That's why you get your Brett Coopers, try to make it seem like she's, you know, in her room doing a damn podcast. Bitch, that's a studio. Bitch, that's a studio. And you have a team of people taking no shots of you, doing the editing and everything else. The only thing you do is sit there, run your mouth for about 13 minutes, and call it a day. She don't know the struggle of having to do a damn podcast in your damn room and using the television as a way to broadcast videos to you guys. Like me. That's why when I... you already seen it already. People call in from my wife here. I tell them, hey, I ain't stopping my podcast. You on there. Say hi to everybody. My wife come in. She talking about dinner, food. I don't care. Come on in. I'm in my living room at that time period. Bedroom or whatever. I'm where a television is at. I might be in the damn kitchen. Or sometimes doing it via car while I'm driving. Right? But anyway, this video is going to deal with that. He's talking about back pilots and things like that. By the way, there's not very many of. But basically, this one company is basically trying to say that they're trying to shoot for diversity, you know. Basically, the next class is going to be majority or if not half women and people of color, right? To bring some diversity into the, you know, organization and into the industry. And boy, does it need it. And it's going to be funny. I think this video does go into it. If it doesn't, I'll let you guys know. But really, what this has all been about, really, and how it just takes anything for racist people to be racist. Seriously, it takes anything just for racist people to be racist. But anyway, let's the video play.
Fatal flight disaster in the United States since 2009, and airline experts laud flight safety for being at its highest in 2023. And yet, we're having this conversation. Why? Because it's not about the safety, it's about the diversity. And while we're at it, let me add, what diversity?
Before we get going. So, the title of this is Racist of the Week.
Welcome to Racist of the Week with me, Reese Waters, where we expose the stupidity and hypocrisy of discrimination in hopes we can build a more perfect union. And also laugh. As usual, I would like to thank today's sponsor, Racism. And don't forget to like and subscribe to the page and definitely leave me any possible suggestions for future nominees in the comments. And those of you that have already done so, I really, really appreciate it. You guys are giving me a ton of ideas. And a quick shout out to last week's winner, the Smithsonian, and their racial brain collection. And yes, that's a thing. Our first nominee, Charlie Kirk, the founder and president of Turning Point USA, who, you thought I was going to talk about what he said about MLK?
Yeah, I know. That failed miserably. He made all this hoopla about talking about MLK, and he just basically used old shit that the FBI faked up. And once people start to realize that shit, it's like, the FBI already tried this shit beforehand. A lot of it was fake. If it's not, it's already been known already by then, and it doesn't change shit. Yes. Speaking of that, he did say that we should get rid of the Civil Rights Act, by the way. Yeah, the thing that ended segregation. But, you know, he's not racist. You know, he doesn't want black people and white people to be separated. Right? He's not racist.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was going to do that, but I had better things to do with my time. But I can only let you slide for so long. No, the founder and president of Turning Point USA had the following to say about black pilots on his weekly panel discussion, Thought Crime.
That's why I think this United story and the DEI story...
Yes. That's not Charlie Kirk. That's one of his one of his white colleagues over there, because it's an all-white panel, by the way. Bunch of all-white dudes in the circle shirt jerking each other off.
So hard because we've all been in the back of a plane when the turbulence hits, or when you're flying through a storm and you're like, I'm so glad I saw the guy with the right stuff and the square jaw get into the cockpit before we took off, and I feel better now.
This shows that these guys don't fly commercial flights at all, period. They fly private. They're on planes, private jets, if you will. And if not that, they're flying first class, right? First class. They're not with average people like you and me. Because I never think about the build, the race, the color, the gender, the sexuality, the anything about the pilot. I'm saying, well, he got the job. Let's see if he actually earned it. Right? The only way I'll find out is if I'm dead or not. So black, white, Hispanic, green, yellow, whatever the fuck you want to call it, the only way I'm going to find out if the person, I say he because over 90% of the time it's going to be a he. Don't worry. Yeah, the video got that information. Over 90% of the time it's going to be a he. Is he going to be able to pilot this machine? Trust me, I've recently been on a plane, been on Spirit Airlines, and that shit, like I said beforehand, you know, is one step from the Wright brothers, pretty much. And if you know what I mean when I say that. It's only one step away from the Wright brothers, and pretty much that's how it felt when I was flying. Did I look and see which color, what ethnicity, what race was the pilot? No. Why? One, I already went in knowing that Spirit Airlines basically is not the best when it comes to actual making, you know, airplanes. And since I already know the number, you know, it's over 90 percentile being white, I'm pretty sure it's a white person flying that plane. Right? So, I'm like, all right, doesn't matter. White man, white woman, black woman. I'm sure that it's going to stay in the air.
No, I mean, like, that. You want to go thought crime? Like, I'm sorry. If I see a black pilot, I'm going to be like, boy, I hope he's qualified.
Oh, yeah. The title was accurate. And not to be outdone, noted pick-me Candace Owens defended black excellence in her response.
And what he is remarking on is true. I would be terrified if I got onto a plane and I saw a woman.
And I always say, what requires for a pilot to be a man? You see, I always go with things like that, and I always say, so what part of the job do I use? Because we're talking about sex here, right? What part of the job do I use my dick and balls? Where do I insert? What part of the plane? What part of the plane? What component? Is up there where I had to insert my dick? There isn't one. So since there isn't one, obviously it doesn't require a man. I know they'll say, well, you know, not everything requires, you know, construction requires that. Okay, so what part of flying the plane do I have to be able to lift, you know, 300, 400, 500, 600, 800 pounds? Right? What part of flying the plane requires me to be able to deadlift that Boeing 747. There isn't it. So again, it doesn't matter about race. It doesn't matter about skin tone. A lot of times we're talking about fucking race, and it's nothing more than how much goddamn sun we absorbed. I mean, for real. Your race and ethnicity doesn't have anything to do with your qualifications for a job. You do know you can go out there and you can beat Jamaicans in the race. Hell yeah, if you practice hard enough, you can beat a Jamaican. You can beat those Ethiopians. You train hard enough, you beat them. Why? One, they just do the same shit like they doing. Because they ain't no different. Oh, they running since they were 3 years old. Well, guess what? You gotta start at age 2. Or start at age 1. Hey, your mommy and daddy start moving your legs, put you on a fucking treadmill. Right? Keep your ass running. You beat them? Because why? There's no difference. There's no difference. Your skin tone doesn't make a difference when it comes to jobs. It's about lifestyle factors. Did you get the opportunity to actually go out there and participate in those, you know, things like flying a plane? Did you get the training to be able to fly a plane? Like the whole idea that black people can't swim. No, black people can't swim. It's not the fact that black people can't swim. They never learned to. Because they don't have the money. Any access to it. The closest you get to is a community pool that's filled with piss and shit. You don't have your own back pool in your backyard. Nor do you have the time to be trained how to swim. Black people can swim just as best and not better than white people. It's that they have the opportunity to do so. Because they had that generational wealth built up. That privilege built up. Their parents can take vacations. Black people never take vacations. Right? But we could, again, we could call lazy and whatnot. You know, how many vacations do a black person take compared to how many ones that white people take? Yeah, you start to realize who the ones that are really lazy. But anyway, let Uncle Ruckus continue.
Flying the plane.
Y'all knew she didn't defend black excellence any more than she exhibits it. She just
exhibits
down on supremacist thinking. But back to Kirk. I wonder if he is qualified. Well, I wonder if the Tuskegee Airmen were qualified, and Cornelius Coffey and Willa Brown, Bessie Coleman, just to name a few. I wonder if they were qualified. See, you could just as easily say, you know, I don't usually see black pilots. They must be really qualified. All they went through to get to this point, they must be really good. But you don't, because of the racism you bring to the table about black people and their abilities.
But what DEI does is it introduces poison.
I just like how conservatives always just fucking blatantly, in the most hypocritical way, just lie so motherfucking much. You know Charlie Kirk is lying. Like, do you know what DEI stands for? Diversity, equity, and inclusion. Well, he's white, so of course I understand equality to him is oppression. He's afraid that somebody like me, with my podcast, can outdo him and his racist, bigoted, racism, right? Because I actually give you real quality, you know, entertainment, right? Without having to lock it down with hatred and bigotry, right? And make you just scared all the fucking time, right? I come here to entertain. Well, he comes here to scare the shit out of you. You know, Freddy Krueger over there only exists for one thing only, to scare you. He a boogeyman type of thing. He doesn't provide any type of good quality information and good quality entertainment. Well, he's scared, Margaret, he'll be a piece of shit and be broke. right? Everybody know that. Again, like I said, I love to be able to debate this idiot on diversity, equity, inclusion, DEI stuff. Even affirmative action, you know. These things are needed because black people are already pushed down and white people have gotten so much of a leg up, the GI bills and all that stuff. We know about the shit, you know, where they were building the suburbs just for white people and it had and built into the goddamn, you know, deeds that the house can be sold or resold to black people, right? So you see why those suburban areas are filled to the brim with white people. I mean, how long ago do you think this shit was? You think it was 200, 300, 400 years? Hell no, not even close, right? It's more like 50, 60, 70 years at best. You still got people alive that had that dealt with stuff like that. So when you start to realize that stuff, you're like, oh wait, so you didn't even get a chance to deal with the repercussions of that. It's like, you know, a broken bone or a, you know, injury, right? Injuries take time to heal. Black people were constantly being injured by society. You had the slavery that happened for 400 years. And then directly after that, because by the way, it was directly after that, you get your black codes. And directly after that, you get your segregation, right? Then directly after that, you get your war on drugs and whatnot. And your stop and frisk. And directly after that, you get your police brutality. And directly after that, you get the end of affirmative action. It's like you don't get a chance to heal, right? You don't get a chance to heal up. When it came to white people, they barely even got injured. Their injuries are coming from the ending of slavery. But then they get, you know, black holes. That peonage. Right? Where you're basically putting black people back into slavery. That's a good type of ace bandage, a good band-aid, some good, you know, alcohol and cold compress on your injuries, right? Then you get stuck getting GI bills and the suburbs build up, right? And you start to get the segregation happening where it's separate but damn well not equal, where all the good quality shit goes to the white people while all the crazy shit that's basically dilapidated and falling apart go to black people. Right, you start to get healed up a little more. You start to get your penicillin and your medicine and your treatments and your relaxation and your time off to chill and relax and recuperate. Right. So now, when it's time for them to put that injury, that former injury, to work, to see if they can rehabilitate it. They start getting scared. And that's where you start getting your affirmative action and your DEIs and whatnot, right? Things like that. To see if they can actually stand up on their own and work on their own and be able to move that injured body part. Right? See, if you get the analogy, you say that, yeah, 100%. Right? Because when you injure yourself and you got to rely on your body and work that injured area to make sure that it's actually 100% healed, it's scary for a moment. Because you don't know if you're going to re-aggravate that injury. Right? And it's only for a moment. Because once you get past that moment, it's over. Just like with affirmative action, DEI, and all that stuff like that. Once we get past this shit, and we do get past it, and we will, once it does happen, it'll be easy. Like that, you won't even know it happened. And that's the thing about these rich, white, racist bastards like Charlie Kirk. He doesn't want for you to go out there and start dealing with reparations. Because then he won't be able to use those same stereotypes against black people. Because black people start to move out of the ghettos, right? And start to move into the suburbs. They start to own stock, right? And start to move into managerial positions and executive positions. And these white people had to compete with black people and people of color. They normally don't have to worry about competition because a lot of times they're already friends with these owners and whatnot. They start to realize that, oh shit, my meal ticket is up because now the person I was, you know, throwing the work on is now my competition. I'm not qualified to do the job he is. I was just using the fact that he was black and will never be able to get into the position that I'm at against him. Oh no, what do I do? Right? Because a lot of times, because you might be saying, Trey, yes, it is like that. A lot of these positions that's out there, these executive positions that are out there, are filled with a bunch of white people who just happen to know somebody. Tim Pool doesn't know what adversity really is. He worked at his mom and dad's store, went out to a Occupy Wall Street demonstration, met up with some dude and wound up becoming an executive of advice. And then he parlayed that into his YouTube channel. What fucking adversity did he face? None. He had money already. He already had money. He didn't have no adversity. He had no adversity. He could take time and go to this Occupy Wall Street and just meet another white guy who happened to be working at Vice. And he became an executive. And then, oh boy, I wish that could happen with me. I don't walk into anybody that had any type of experience like that. None. Wonder why? Because I'm black. And most people I'm going to run into are black. They're not going to be involved in this type of stuff. Politics. Black people aren't involved in politics because they've been told not to be involved in it. That most of our involvement will amount to nothing. Ain't that convenient though? Let the video continue.
Sick lines of thinking. The point I was making is this, is it's condescending to qualified blacks. It's condescending to qualified females.
Oh, here we go again.
What a dumbass. What DEI stands for is diversity, equity, and inclusion. So, basically, it's like the Rooney Rule. If anybody knows football, the Rooney Rule. Look it up if you don't. That's how Mike Tomlin, I hope you know, that's how the Pittsburgh Steelers got Mike Tomlin. You know those six Super Bowl rings they have? I think like two or three of which, you know, Mike Tomlin? Mike Tomlin? Yeah. Yeah, he was a diversity hire. Right? Because the Rooneys, Art Rooney, if I'm correct, remember correctly, stated, hey, you know, we got a bunch of 100% at the time period, 100% white head coaches. And the only thing you were getting was at that white head coaches. At another. The highest position a black coach could get was linebacker coach. was linebacker coach. And I ain't defensive coordinator. And I ain't offensive coordinator. Nah, special teams, maybe. But you stuck at linebacker coach. You couldn't even get to the wide receiver side. Linebacker coach. And so what Art Rooney said was, I'm going to start interviewing black coaches for the head coaching position. And he, you know, went out there and he gave this idea to the NFL. And for a while, they actually stood with that. Some do, some don't. It's not like it's a written rule. But the idea is that you interview a head coach for a position, a black coach for a head coaching position. That's why he's starting to have now a few more of them showing up. Because, by the way, you got to remember when this happened. By the way, it happened when Mike Tomlin got selected, right? So, you see how long it was since then. And you're starting to very solidly see a black person get selected for the head coaching position. It's happening. It's possible. But that rule created it. And that's the same thing with this whole thing with diversity, equity, inclusion. A lot of time, it's pretty much bullshit for a organization just to say, well, hey, we're for diversity, even though it's 100% white company from the top all the way down to the bottom. Ain't a black person there. Now, ain't the janitor's black, right? And normally, that's positions that black people get. You always get a black person to clean your shit, but not even that, right? But then at times we have, oh, we got one black person. Where's my token Negro? There you go, token Negro. I told you we were for diversity. The whole idea of DEI is for these organizations to go out there and purposefully look for people who are people of color, or a woman, you know, a minority, basically, and see if they have the qualifications, right? 100% of the time, the person that they're going to select that's a minority is overqualified and underpaid. It's just like that. We're black. We know that. If you're black, you know full well, you're going to have to go out there. If a job says it requires a high school diploma, you got to get your doctor's degree in the field, already have at least 25 years of experience, and probably already own the organization that's hiring you, for you to go down there and apply for them, like, you know, customer service position. Why, if you're white, you don't even have any experience whatsoever and barely don't even have a high school diploma, just flunked out of school and said, hey, I want to go ahead and apply for the executive position. And you're more likely going to get it. And they're going to have the black guy teach you everything about running the organization. And you were saying to your boss, why you had me teaching this white idiot how to run this organization when you could just put me in the position. It happens all the time. Let the video play.
You knew it was coming, so it's DEI's fault that you feel this way. It's diversity's fault, because before diversity efforts, you had the full faith when you saw a black pilot, right? Well, to quote the great Bill Duke, you know you done effed up, right? You know you done effed up, right? Lately, the conservative media landscape chose air travel to trump up opposition against corporate diversity programs, igniting a cultural battleground within the industry. Recent weeks have witnessed a surge in right-wing influencers, politicians, and media outlets targeting airlines' diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives, often based on inaccurate or misleading information. Actually, I'll say generally based on inaccurate and misleading information. This campaign, while Senator...
I'll go even further. Not just genuinely, 100% just based off of fucking bullshit lies. You know, they just lying and using your basic beliefs, these stereotypes, more likely, your belief in these stereotypes to foster your belief in their lies, right? They will use the belief in these stereotypes that black people are lazy, they don't like to work, they, you know, on welfare, 100% of them on welfare, they're the most individuals on welfare, that's not a white person on welfare at all, period. Welfare is only for black people, and if you take away welfare, black people will be perfectly fine without it. You know, they'll force their lazy asses to get up and actually fucking work for a living instead of sitting on their ass collecting Social Security and other forms of social welfare, right? Even though, again, it's white people in these white neighborhoods and these white state and red states that are on, you know, welfare the most. Food stamps, Social Security, whatever you name it, it's white people that's on it the most. And they're the ones in these red states. And these red states are being propped up the most by these blue states. That if you take that blue state money away from them, the damn state defaults. Yeah, you won't hear that coming from a Charlie Kirk. You won't hear that coming from a Tucker Carlson. You won't hear that coming from a Candace Owens or Ben Shapiro or anybody that's on the right. They won't tell you that because right-wing individuals like to lie. Because that's the only thing they have. That's why Donald Trump, he loves the poorly educated. I bet you do, because the poorly educated won't be to hold your feet to the fire on the facts. Ben Shapiro can have a bullshit, fake-ass, whack-ass rap about facts, but this nigga never cared about facts since, like, 2010. 2010. Bro, all your goddamn talking points have been made up by bullshit lies. Straight up lies and inaccuracies. Haven't said anything as a word of fact out of his mouth, including his own damn name.
On the airline sector holds implications for the broader culture war issues as the 2024 election year unfolds. And you know what started all this? An incident where a panel detached from an Alaska Airlines Boeing jetboat flight. Yeah, no black pilot. We're not even talking about flying at all. This is somebody's maintenance issue, and it became a referendum on DEI.
So he did talk about it. Because I was about to say, the thing that caused this whole conversation was, you know, the exit sign, right? The little exit slide that's over there, that you just sit next to it. That panel, right? It fell off, I think, during mid-flight. Right? It was the Alaskan Airlines one, right? So, you know, it's a white-owned company and 100% white people there. So it had nothing to do with any of these companies that have diversity hires. Alaskan Airlines ain't gonna have that. It's Alaska. Come on now. It ain't a black person there in Alaska. They got more black bears and more, you know, salmon and whales and fucking polar bears than they do black people. Right? It's one of those areas. Just name something, they probably got more of that than they do black people.
There is a dude somewhere in middle America who stayed out a little bit too late with his buddies. He shouldn't have had that extra scotch. He slept in and totally forgot to report to his job at the airport the next day. No call, no show. You know what it turns into? A referendum on DEI. America.
Exactly. America. When anything goes wrong, it's always black people's fault. It's always black people's fault. You know full goddamn well I'm not lying. When assassinations happened, you know full goddamn well. Like when I think it was FDR who got shot, killed, whatever the fuck. You know the president. When they got shot, you know full damn well. It was the first thing, it had to be a black person who did it. No, it was a white guy. Why wouldn't it be? Only white people do something stupid like trying to actually assassinate a president. Only white people get the opportunity, the time, the energy, and have the gall to actually do it. And of course, they'll be the ones to get away with it. Dylan Roof, I always bring him up. Killed people at a black church, got away with it pretty much. His punishment was getting some food at Burger King. Burger King, this boy didn't even have a goddamn wrinkle on his goddamn shirt. But boy, oh, you go out for a motherfucking jog, you getting murdered if you're black. You go to a goddamn grocery store, you getting murdered if you're black. I mean, for real. Go out for a jog, you go to the corner store to get some damn Arnold Palmer and Skittles, you getting murdered if you're black. Come on now. Like, it's not fair. We just want just a little bit of fairness.
Sensible racist would expect us to attack DEI in the maintenance room. But these are not sensible racists. Everybody from Donald Trump Jr. to Elon Musk has weighed in. And I addressed Musk in a previous Racist of the Week edition, by the way, because it's always good to get an opinion from the wrong side of apartheid.
Exactly. The wrong side of apartheid. Right. First and foremost, Elon Musk and I talk about fucking race when you the epitome of goddamn white privilege. The epitome of fucking white privilege. Your dad owned the diamond mine during apartheid, and you get considered Iron Man because the only thing you did was use your goddamn wallet to buy a bunch of companies. And lie and say you're the founder of it. Dude, you know, if I could easily do the same shit if I had money. This dude's not even a genius, for real. You say, well, his IQ, that doesn't prove shit. This nigga dumb as fuck. IQ don't prove shit. It's a white-ass goddamn intelligent test created by a bunch of white people to prove their superiority. It's a white man dick measuring contest. They really try to actually compare it to a black man, like, you know what always happens. They don't measure up. So they had to destroy the rubric. So the smaller you are, the better you are. If you know what I mean, you know what I mean. And that's exactly a good damn analogy. That's an IQ test. Created by a bunch of white racist people to try to belittle black people and minorities. Like, all standardized testing. Created by white racist people to belittle minorities. Why the hell are you allowing for some crazy ass company that only teaches what white people being taught in their schools, in their areas, amongst their people, to be qualifying what's being taught all around the country, knowing full well every state has their own rubric on what's being taught in their schools? Why don't you allow for those states to create their own test? You have your inner city, you know, your inner city standardized testing, because these are going to be the things that mostly the inner city get taught, and these counties gonna get taught this, and these rural area whites gonna get taught that, because you know each area is getting taught something totally different.
Yes, host Joey Manarino claimed that, quote, the Diversity Hire Brigade was to blame for the tarmac delays at New York's JFK International. Yeah. And here's Don Jr. blaming diversity for a wheel falling off a plane in Atlanta. Did he see the maintenance staff? Did he know who worked on that particular plane? No. Just the fact that the plane was in Atlanta? Okay. It's a pretty good guess, actually. Now, the general theme is, this is about life and death. We need the best pilots, regardless of skin color. Diversity and inclusion is making us less safe. which would actually make a lot of sense if it was based in any actual evidence.
Yes, he's gonna say it. So this one does have all the information like I thought it did. Because, like I said, 90 percentile. Yes, 90 percentile. Now, this information is due to diversity actually happening. Some of this information has went down a tad. He's going to say it. Mainly the ones dealing with, you know, commercial flight accidents. It used to be 100%. Now it's down a bit. Because now we got more people flying planes that's not white. No, not the accidents happened. It's the fact that more people were flying planes that are not white. Not that it's a lot. When you're taking something away from 100%, even the smallest amount makes a difference. You know, if you have 5 white people and you add 1 black person, it's now not 100% white, right? That type of situation.
Or didn't come with the assumption that black people, by their very nature, made us less safe. And yes, I know that because you said it yourself.
Because we've all been in the back of a plane when the turbulence hits, or when you're flying through a storm and you're like, I'm so glad I saw the guy with the right stuff and the square jaw get into the cockpit before we took off. And I feel better now. Thinking
no, I mean,
about
like,
that.
You want to go thought crime? Like, I'm sorry. If I see a black pilot, I'm going to be like, boy, I hope he's qualified.
So it's not actually the best that gives you peace of mind. It's
the whitest.
So let's throw that whole merit-based argument out the window. But since we're...
Yup. I keep trying to tell people. They always try to say that they want to be living in a meritocracy. No, you don't. You want to live in an ethnostate. Because DEI gives those black people the opportunity to get those said merits. Yeah. That's the point. DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Affirmative action allows for black people to have the access to those possibilities of getting those merits. Y'all understand the whole sentence, by the way. I said possibility of having access, right? It's a lot of steps involved, but at least there's some steps involved now. Because before diversity, equity, and inclusion and affirmative action, there was literally zero steps involved. You're just not going to get those merits ever, right? You're just not going to get it. You don't get an opportunity. Now they're giving you the opportunity to people of color. And now what happens is, oh, no, like I said before, the meritocracy. No, we only meant that when only white people can have those merits. Now that people of color can handle that, we don't want that. We want an ethnostate.
Here, let's look at the numbers anyway. 88.3% of commercial airline pilots are white. 96% of fatal commercial aviation crashes have been piloted by whites.
Yes, 96% of fatal crashes. That was down from 100. Yeah, 100. Yeah, 100. By the way, it's not because they added more fatal crashes. It's because they're adding more people of color to the list of people who fly in planes. You gotta know how you do math. If it's not 100% whites that you're pulling from, you're gonna get a different number, right? Because it's not 100% going against 100%. That's just your probability.
There hasn't been an airline catastrophe of any kind involving a black pilot this century. So, you know, if you can, you should probably request a black pilot.
I was about to say the same thing. For me, since I know for over 100 years there hadn't been a, you know, fatal crash, accident or any kind by a black person, can I make sure my pilot is black? Because it's 100% guarantee that I'll live. I mean, black people batting 100. So, Charlie, I didn't know you like. I always knew that white people like to commit suicide. You know, again, look at the numbers when it comes to black people and white people. White people want to commit suicide more. Hey, I knew white people love to commit suicide, but golly, this is taking it to the extreme, don't you think?
But wait, there's more. There hasn't been a fatal commercial flight disaster in the United States since 2009, and airline experts laud flight safety for being at its highest in 2023. And yet, we're having this conversation. Why?
Because of racism. There hasn't been a fatal accident since 2009. Period. Because again, flying a plane is more safe than driving a car, because you have more space up there, more control up there, and less and more ability to maneuver. Right? A plane coming, you can probably go up and over that plane, or below it, or around it, left or right. Right? But when it comes to driving a car, if it's coming right directly, you only got left, right. You can't go anywhere else. Right? Difference, don't you think? And unlike with planes, where you got a whole goddamn control crew telling people what's going on and what's happening and shit, it's only you and another guy coming head on at you. Right? You can't communicate with people on the left and right of you and say, hold on, you see that car coming head on to me. Y'all need to brake and make room so I can get past.
It's not about the safety, it's about the diversity. And while we're at it, let me add,
what diversity?
Diversity. Despite statements to the contrary from airlines about their commitment to diversity, about 92% of pilots and flight engineers are white. And because we like symmetry, 92% are men. That's according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Yup. 92% are white men. What the fuck? When I tell you that when it comes to racist people, equality is oppression. They had the privilege of having everything given to them. That's why, you know, when I see, like, and people say, well, Trey, that's not right to say it. But no, it really is. And I see somebody that's white that's struggling, I had to ask, what did you do wrong? I mean, for real, what did you do wrong? You gotta ask that question. What did you do wrong? Right? When you see white people struggling, what did you do wrong? You might be saying, it might be an arrest. Well, you voted for a bunch of goddamn racist white people. That's what you did wrong. You're gonna struggle. They taking advantage of you because they finally got over on you and said, well, hey, we already lied to you enough that you done put yourself in a situation and the continuous downward spiral, and you're going to keep believing this bullshit. So we're good. Keep listening to our lies and make us rich. By the way, keep making us rich. Because you got to say it. All these privileges that you had, how did you get into this situation? Because ain't no goddamn way that you had privileges that I don't. You can apply for jobs that's normally out of reach because your intellect or lack thereof, right? You don't have a bachelor's degree or you don't have experience in this field. Just because you're white, you can apply for those type of positions and more likely get them. I had to have 10, 20, if not 100 times more education, experience than you do just to get entry-level positions. That's crazy talk. I gotta have a bachelor's degree to be able to get something like a cashier position. A cashier position? While a white guy want to fill out for the supervisor position, just have a high school diploma and no goddamn experience. Oh, he's getting it because he's coming in dressed a certain way. Because all the dress styles are based off of white people. It says he comes dressed in a button down and slacks look better than me because he's white. He gets a job. Okay.
That's a 9 and a 2. Also, according to them, black pilots and flight engineers grew from 2.7% in 2018 all the way to 3.6% in 2023. That's right. All this angst for 1%. Ain't no crashes to point to. Y'all don't even have diversity to point to. I guess it's not enough until it's all white, huh? And here I am thinking you wanted the best regardless of skin color. You just wanted to feel all white. And the share of pilots and flight engineers who are women fell. It fell from 9% to 8.3% from 2018 to 2023. Now, here's my favorite fact, though, because you remember that Boeing flight where the door came off that started all this whole round of disingenuous...
Uh-huh. That's why I'm glad to go.
...was Alpine tears. The pilot who landed that plane was a woman. Bam! Bam!
Yup, I was about to say. Hey, Candace. Hey. I just said you wouldn't feel safe. Yeah, see, that door came off. Not because the woman took it off. It landed safely and nobody died. Because that woman landed it safely. Because of course, you're going to bet your fucking goddamn ass in a situation you're going to want a woman to land a plane. Because ain't no way you're going through a lot of hell and stress and dealing with fucking men and that toxic bullshit and not be able to land a fucking plane during a crisis. My God, you're going home to a living one. Or a living crisis. Men are a living crisis. I know it. Definitely white men. Oh my God, they always a goddamn victim. And they gotta go home to that shit. So of course it was a woman that landed that plane.
Damn. All they hate to hear the truth. All y'all. I mean, all y'all are nominated for Racist of the Week. You too, Candace Owens. Technically, that was sexism, but I know where you come from. Congratulations to Charlie Kirk, Don Jr., Elon Musk, and all the ashiest accounts on social media who push this nonsense theory online. And by the way, if you have somebody you would like to nominate for Racist of the Week, leave it in the comments, or you can email me at reese.waters@gmail.com.
Yes. I just wanted to do that for you guys, because I was like, yeah. Because I had to do that one, because eventually I had to deal with Charlie Kirk and his racism. I kept telling people, Turning Point USA is nothing more than a white supremacy group. It is. It's an organization built for and by white racist people. If you don't believe me, sometimes just go take a sneak peek at one of those conferences they have. Let me tell you, if you're black, you're probably going to be the only one there. I mean, seriously. I mean, fuck. I ain't gonna lie to you. When Officer Tatum went to a Turning Point USA conference, he was the only black guy there. He was a speaker. Yeah, I wonder why. I keep trying to tell people, conservatives can't talk shit about diversity and Dr. King and stuff like that. Because, again, y'all are the bad guys. Y'all are the ones that are racist. Everything that y'all stand for, it's always evil. You hate trans people because they exist. You hate black people because they exist. They hate every other minority because they exist. Y'all just created off of hate. Y'all exist straight off of hate. You literally cut off your damn nose to spite your face. Look at the goddamn immigration bill. The most racist, bigoted bill that we can create without actually allowing people to murder migrants. And you still don't want to sign that bill because Donald Trump said so. Wow. Anyway, this is going to be where I end the podcast. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and of course, share the podcast, guys. Later.